you would, please turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. This is where we find our theme verse. And I've been just absolutely blessed my socks off on how the teachers have presented the word with this as the background. Just tremendous. And the very first teaching with Mike's teaching, Steve came up to me and said, "Hey, I think my teaching would go right good right after that." That was before he knew that he was going to go right after Mike. But that's just the way God laid it out and put that on the hearts of the teachers. And I'm just thrilled every time I see that happen. It's just absolutely amazing to me. And that just shows me even more how much he cares for us. That the ego of the teachers had no part in this, but rather they were obedient to God's voice and shared with you what you needed to hear. I want to look at these verses from a different perspective, as Marty brought forth. Things can change. Our understanding can change if we look at something from a little different angle sometimes. It can be the same truth. It's like a gem. You know, Delia has a beautiful big gem on her finger now. And then you look at it one way, it sparkles one way. You look at it another way, you get a different kind of sparkle. But it's the same gem, isn't it? And as we grow, sometimes our perspective grows or changes. We can look at truths from the Word that way. We can look at people's lives that way. Because what I see of your life right now is only one aspect of it. But as I grow and I look at you from different angles through our lives as we grow together, I grow to appreciate the other things in your life that is outstanding, that shines. And as we see each other like that, that beautiful gem that God created, then we start to appreciate the multifaceted blessings that he's put on our lives. So in Ephesians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us. There you have the purpose why this all happened. If you ever want to know why God did what he did and why he's doing what he's doing, it is all because of this truth, because of the great love that he loved us with. Verse 5, and when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now, I want you to look at the plurals that we're starting to see. In verse 4, wherewith he loved us. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Do you start to see a pattern here? So many times we read this, and I have for years, and just thought only of myself. What God did for me, how he raised me up, how he made me sit together with Christ in heavenly places. And I thought, yay, thank you, God. But God's perspective is we, you and me, us together are sitting there. We have been raised together. It may have been years apart. We sometimes stand on the shoulders of great men that come before us. But we are all still a part of that great we and together. And that the truth is he's done it individually, but he's also done it together. Let's look at something I try to apply to a lot of things. I learned in law enforcement is that you ever want to get to the truth, you got to know who, how, when, where, and why. There's five questions that you have to ask yourself. So in these verses here, who is the subject? I would say God is the subject here because he is the one pulling this all off. So the who is God. Why Because he loved us. When did he do this? When we were dead. When we were dead, he did this. Where did he do this? Together in the heavenlies. And how did he do it? He quickened us, woke us up when we were dead and waiting to be completed. He woke us up. That's how he did it. He woke us up. If you look at that word, raised, it can also be translated aroused or awaken. Aroused or awaken. We're kind of like the night of the living dead before we're born again, you know? We have motivation, we have animation, but there isn't a whole lot of life there. We can do things, we can say things, we can even accomplish things. But as far as life, we are without God and without true life. And so God woke us from that. He woke us up. It is. Huh? My eyes are still kind of swollen and shut. Am I the only one? It takes about 3 cups of coffee to get everything. But finally, when I get going, I can start to see. Yeah, my eyes are open. I'm awakened. And certainly, that is what God did for us. He woke us up from this death that we were experiencing beforehand. And he raised us up together and made us sit together. Now, that is a trick all of itself. I picture it like God bringing us over to a seat and then just put his hand on us and just sets us down. Just sets us down. And we are there together. And it's a big seat. It must be a big seat. Right? To hold all of us. That's one big deal. You see these sometimes in restaurants and stuff like that where you can go sit in these big seats. And this one's a really big seat. We all are there together. So natural man, he's stumbling around most of his whole life trying to figure out the meaning of life. Therefore, that's why you have so many different kinds of religions, because they have not come to the true God to find the answer, so they make up what makes sense for them at the time. Jeff recently experienced what I would call a trying time. He had a detached retina in one of his eyes. And as a result of that, and through a series of corrective surgeries and things, he didn't have eyesight or sight in that eye for quite a while. Now, it's all better now, or at least almost all better. But the point is it really changed his perspective. You really had to be careful where you set the glass of water when he came to your house. Right? Because your death perception has changed. What you're normally used to of being able to reach out and figure out that that's there, it's not quite where you think it is because your depth perspective has changed. So with that, it's almost like he's half asleep. You know, that only having one good working eye, you are at a disadvantage of what you really need to see. And I was really blessed with Gail's teaching and what she was so eloquently, I would say, and dynamically expressing about the gorilla. Right? I mean, I've heard that referred to, that part of her teaching referred to many times since she taught it. But certainly, sometimes what we're looking at, if it's the wrong thing, it'd be pretty bad. What happened if that gorilla was real and he wanted to take your head off and you didn't see him? Right? So it is not that I can see, but what am I seeing? What am I focusing in on? Is it the negatives that's happening in my life daily, or is it in the deliverance that God has given me? You can look at this. I can see all the details of this wire mesh around the microphone, but guess what? Everything else is out of focus. You're just a blur. I look at you, and this is a blur. So it, what I choose to focus in on is what I can see. So if I focus in on what God has made me in Jesus Christ, having raised me from the dead and made me to sit together in the heavenlies with you, what am I focused in on? And who do I see? I see you. I start to see the Christ in you. I start to see the Christ in you. I see the Christ in you. And as I see that Christ in you, I all of a sudden am not near as critical about your life. I don't want to gossip about you. I don't want to say bad things about you. I don't want to even be offended by you. I only see the Christ in you. And when I can only see the Christ in you, guess what? I'm believing with you. I'm believing for you. I am your cheerleader. I think that you can accomplish great things. But is understanding that we are set together in Christ. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. If we're focused in on the things of this world, all the things of God becomes a blur. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God does what? Abideth forever. So what do we want to focus on? The eternal or the temporary? Because this temporary is all going to go. It's all going to be replaced by a pretty good replacement. It's called a new heaven and a new earth. But for now, everything else is just temporary. But as long as I'm focused in on that, as long as my perspective is on that and that alone, I only am able to see that and not the glory of God. Do you know that light and darkness is used many times to describe the truth of God from the evil of the adversary, right? You cannot know light or darkness except you have sight. Right? A person who cannot see does not know whether it is light or dark. Deb and I do work with the Lions Club, and their mission is to help the blind and the hearing impaired. And one time we went to a fundraiser, and part of the fundraiser was used to go in this banquet time, and we all got blindfolded to eat our dinner. And it's really fun to watch a bunch of snooty people with lots of money try to feed themselves with, and they can't see what they're doing. It gets a little messy on your face. You get messy with your hands. Sometimes you stick your fingers in the mashed potatoes and gravy. So, but it really brought home the fact that if you can't see, it's a big impediment to carry on the basic things of life. Well, God brings this seeing analogy back home about eyesight toward Him. What we can see concerning Him and His Word often. Let's go to 1 John 2:8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and what? Hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. So let's say that I am able to see, but I'm in a room without light. Is there any difference between me being sighted and blinded? There isn't. No practical difference. I can't see. There's no light. But, and this word hateth is kind of a strong word, right? How many people in your life do you really hate? I mean hate. Few, right? I imagine. I mean, if somebody's got to really, really do you wrong for you to hate them. But this isn't that word. This is means loveless. Loveless. Less than you should. And who is it talking about? Your brother. So if I love you any less than what God says I should, that's this word. I'm walking in darkness and not in the light. And as long as I am in the darkness, I can't see. And guess why I can't see? I can't see revelation. I can't see the truth of God's word. I can't see what God wants for me in my life. And that's all because I've chosen to treat my brother and sister less than they should be treated. He that hateth his brother abideth in the, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is no occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath what? Blinded his eyes. We can have the same truth presented, but it will be perceived differently because of how our eyes are seeing. You can only really see your brother when your eyesight has changed. When your eyesight has changed, then you can really see your brother. In Acts 2:23. Acts 2:28, verse 23. Acts 28, verse 23. I'm sorry, I probably sent you the wrong chapter, didn't I? Yeah. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things that were spoken, and some believed not. Two different perspectives, right? Same truth, two different perspectives. And as a result of the two different perspectives, you have two different results. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. He tried to tell them that we together are seated in the heavenlies. The Jews couldn't understand the togetherness. They absolutely rejected that the Gentiles would be together with them. But we are together. We are standing strong. We are going to make a difference in this world. Are you the Lord's portion, as we heard this week? We are the Lord's portion. And if we are the Lord's portion, how valuable do you think God thinks you are? If he's keeping the best for himself, you're it. You are God's reward. If you are God's reward and you hold the Spirit of God in you, you have that Holy Spirit, just how valuable of a treasure are you? Well, that's what we need to see. Our eyes of enlightenment come on. We're no longer zombies walking around, biting and devouring one another. What a mind picture. You see the worth of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Because when you do, you will know God and the Father better. Every time you love your brothers and sister, you understand God better. Isn't that encouraging? Yeah. Don't you want to know God intimately?
Yes.
Yeah, we want to know God intimately. Well, the only way to know God intimately is through loving others, as He has commanded. The Word instructs us to do that. So as we stay faithful to His Word and do love each other, now it all starts to come together. All the pieces start to fall in place. You start to understand just how much He loves you, how much He forgives you for, as you forgive others. So as we look back, we start to see just how much we have been seated together in the heavenlies. We have been seated there together with each other. And as we work together and do God's will together, then we will change our culture, our nation, and the world. I may not change the world, but my part in it will contribute to it. So that's what I wanted to share with you.